Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. As Edgar mentioned, my name is Natalia Shcherbatyuk. I'm coming from Washington State, and I'm working in the viticulture program with Marcus Keller. I hope you are still all awake and ready to listen about water movement mechanisms in grapevines during hydraulic redistribution. And today we will definitely count on the phloem. So let's get started. So what do we actually think we know? Well, plants can move water from wet soil areas to dry soil areas due to root and soil water potential gradient. And this is known as hydraulic lift or hydraulic redistribution. Hydraulic redistribution has been shown in over 60 plant species in laboratory and field experiments. And actually, hydraulic redistribution firstly was demonstrated in 1930s. Speaking about the grapevines, it was a very interesting study done in 2005 in California by Dr. Dave Smart, where he proposed that during hydraulic redistribution, plants, grapevines, can move water from wet soil to the dry soil through the plant. So basically what he meant, the water can be absorbed in the wet sections of the soil by the roots and then move to the trunk and then across the high-resistant pathways and down to the dry roots. So for that, he conducted the field experiment where he was applying irrigation only to one side of the vine. And then he used an interesting technique. He was tracing water by using heavy or deuterated water. And that's the water that contains stable isotope of deuterium, which actually makes it possible to trace. So he applied the deuterated water to that section where irrigation was done, and he was applying the water through the micro-irrigation system. Then he was trying to trace that water on the opposite side of the vine. So after he took samples of soil, roots, and trunk, he did trace the deuterium on the opposite side of the vine. And after he assumed the water was transported across the trunk. But there is always that but, especially for the graduate students. You see, the whole plant as one system hasn't been considered. And the communication between the vascular tissues, xylem and phloem, and their contribution to this hydraulic redistribution hasn't been discussed here. So, as we know, a lot of work has been done to study water relations below the ground of the plants as well as above. But the plant as the whole body in regards of the hydraulic redistribution hasn't been studied much. Of course, despite a lot of information which is available about the water transportation mechanisms, there is not much information that we can find about water transport to the growth of the roots. And you can tell that, well, the roots can use water right around directly from the soil where they are in. But what about those roots which are in the dry soil already? Interestingly, at least some internal water supplies should be operating because for the root growth, they need essentials. And those essentials are being transported by the phloem. This type of delivery requires water, and that water that transports essentials to the root growth can also contribute to the overall water supplies to this root growth as well. Moreover, the idea of water recycling from the wet section of the soil to the dry section of the soil through the plant, meaning through the xylem to the leaves and then from the leaves to the phloem to the dry roots, hasn't been reported. This picture in the middle of the slide is for us to remember the vascular tissue of the plant, which is xylem and phloem. They are located together and they always communicate between themselves. With all of that said, it brings me to the hypothesis of my project, which you probably already guessed, and that's that the water redistribution occurs by the recycling of the water from the wet section of the soil to the dry section of the soil by its moving from the soil through the roots via the xylem to the leaves and then from the leaves via the phloem to the dry roots. And I would like to introduce two main objectives I've been focusing on, and that's to determine the pathways for this water movement from the wet to dry routes, as well as to determine the contribution of the phloem to this water transport. And this is one of my favorite slides because this is actual work that has been done. And I used 3-year-old grapevine Merlot potted into the PVC pots. But before I planted those vines in the pots, I split them along the trunk into 3 pieces. I know, poor grapes, but experiments. So of those 3 pieces of the trunk, I called subtrunks just to avoid any confusion, and then I planted them in the custom-built PVC pot. So those pots, they had 3 compartments, and those 3 compartments, they've been separated by the walls, so there was no water, root system, or soil contamination whatsoever. Then right before the experiment, all the pots being irrigated to the field capacity. And since then, only 1 compartment was drip irrigated. And that compartment got the name wet. Then I left 2 compartments to dry. And you might be wondering, why do I need 2 dry compartments? Well, I'm pretty sure from the pictures, you notice the difference between those 2 dry compartments. So 1 dry compartment was left intact, which got the name dry intact, of course. And the other compartment was the subtrunk of that piece of the trunk that was planted in the other dry compartment was girdled. So what is the reason behind of this girdling? That was to distinguish the movement between xylem and the phloem. When I girdle the subtrunk, I damage the phloem. When I damage the phloem, I destruct any potential movement through the phloem. So then I also used deuterated water, just like in previous study I described, and I applied the deuterated water to the wet compartment. Then I took the samples of soil, roots, and subtrunks to analyze for the deuterium in the water. Before further analysis, I extracted the water from all the samples using cryogenic method. For that, heated samples under vacuum conditions, and I heated those samples. Then water was condensing and trapped in the freezing trap. So basically that water then went to the isotope lab to analyze the enrichment of deuterium in that water. And here let's look at the results. I know this diagram might look a little bit too packed, but it does tell a neat story. And if you follow the order looking at the results from the bottom to the top, the first that you would see, it's highlighted numbers for the soil water potential, where you can see the difference between wet and dry compartments. And then follow along, you can see the enrichment data for soil, roots, and subtrunk. So what first you can see from this? Well, first of all, you can clearly see the 3-way split of my plant and the pot. And also you can see the huge significant difference between wet compartment and 2 dry compartments. And that's expected because wet compartment was the compartment where I applied deuterated water. So I'd like to draw your attention to the difference between 2 dry compartments. What can you see here? Water moved to both, dry girdle and dry intact. But there is a significant high enrichment in dry intact, which supports our hypothesis that water moves through the phloem, because that girdling point that we had stopped or slowed down the water movement down to the dry roots. But I'm also pretty sure you noticed something very interesting when you look at the subtrunk of the girdle compartment. You see a significant difference between below and above the girdling point, which also tells that girdling event that happened to the subtrunk slowed down or stopped that water movement. Now here I would like to first draw your attention to the left side of the slide. To demonstrate the water movement, I also collected sap from the xylem and phloem from the same petiole, and for that, the petiole was cut in the middle, where I attached the collection tube to the xylem sap, and then the rest of the petiole and leaf blade went to the collection for the phloem sap. We traced a huge enrichment of deuterium in the xylem sap, which obviously represents the soil water after application of deuterated water, but also the high enrichment of deuterium was in the phloem sap, supporting our hypothesis. When you look at the opposite side of the slide, what you can see here? Well, first of all, you can see that I became a professional splitter and cutter. It became part of my PhD. And moving straight to the point, when I split the petiole into two pieces and I insert one of the petiole part directly in the deuterated water, and the second petiole went into EDTA buffer, then after phloem collection and analyzing the sample, we can see a high enrichment EDTA buffer with the phloem sap. And for that, looking at the table, you can clearly see the difference between EDTA buffer before any insertion, and that we would consider as natural abundance, compared to EDTA buffer after the phloem sap collection, which again supports our hypothesis of phloem contribution to the water movement. Now here, I would like to take you in a little different part of my story. And if you can imagine the vineyard, and if you can see the roots of the vines experiencing slightly different temperatures, do you think that would affect somehow water movement to the dry roots? Well, the question was bugging me, and I set up the experiment where I could manipulate the soil temperature of the dry compartments. And after 24 hours of this soil manipulation temperature, I took sample of the roots and interesting data, which we can see in the table. The water was traced in both cold and warm roots, but the higher significant enrichment was in the warm roots. And it tells us that the warm roots are stronger sinks compared to the cold roots, and that promotes the phloem transportation and moving the water to the dry roots. And then based on our results, we can say the water does move to the dry roots through the phloem, in addition to the xylem. And understanding this internal hydraulic distribution of the plants will let us insight of irrigation methods like partial root zone drying, or PRD. And PRD is irrigation technique that was developed in Australia and is shown to increase water use efficiency up to 50% in wine grapes without any significant effect on the crops. So these type of irrigation, alternative irrigation methods, are the strong motivation for us to get to know more details about water transportation in the plant. And on this note, I would like to thank the funding source and all the technical support I received, which make this project happen. And I would like to thank all of you for coming here and listening to me. It was my pleasure to share my results with you. Thank you so much. Oops. Ah, looks better over there.
We have time for a few questions. What's the standard used to calculate delta per mil per deuterium?
Would you repeat the question,
what's
please?
What's the standard you use? Was it ocean water, or was it what's the standard for calculating delta per mil?
So the question, what was the standard for the isotope calculation for the deuterium? Well, the standard is the which was reached in Vienna in it's the ocean mean standard, internationally reached in Vienna. Yeah. Did I answer your question?
Any other questions? Would you expect it to be more true for sandier soils as opposed to clay soils, which have some capillary movement, so the plants that are alive maybe less in that mechanism as opposed to just water moving through soil pores?
So the question was if I would expect any difference between water movement between if we compare sandy soil and clay. That's right?
Yeah,
that's a very good question. I do believe the soil would have a huge impact, especially for the hydraulic distribution or hydraulic lift, because we know that with different soil, there is a different soil water capacity. So me, yes, I would expect completely different results for that. The substrate, the question was about the substrate. So that was the potting mix with the sandy loam. It was the sunshine number 4, which we just ordered it, basically. And that's about it. Any more questions? Yeah.
Do you notice for trees or vines that didn't receive deuterium, did you notice a gradient going from leaves to roots?
So the question was about the gradient, if I notice any going down from the leaves to the roots. I did not measure that. This is a very interesting question, and this is something that I thought about and discussed with my advisor, but I did not measure any enrichment of leaves or trunks. I was focusing on the roots and sub-trunks where the split happened. Yeah, but that's a very good suggestion to do.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.